This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick's out. Tyler's in. We appreciate him. At least I do. Two in the books, one to go. Hour left of the big show. You guys are always bad. You guys are always in some kind of argument.
Yeah, we fight like brothers. It's okay. We've known each other for a while.
That's our dynamic.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not saying I don't like it. Like, I just know it's always happening. You're bickering constantly.
It's like we're both adults about it, too. We get on each other's nerves. We get so pissed off at each other. And then, like, within 3 minutes, we're like, eh. And then we move on. And we're not like, it's like, whatever.
Well, I can't.
Forget about it.
Huh?
I can't move on when I know. You guys do this.
I know.
It's hard.
I know.
Shocker here. Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict suspended 4 games for violating the policy on performance-enhancing substances.
What?
You think that has a tendency to make you a little, like, edgy? Maybe act out? Boy, that dude.
Maybe do some things you shouldn't
that
do.
That dude's a mess.
We have a correction to your translation of El Tipo.
I didn't have a correction.
Oh, no. I'm looking at Tyler.
Okay.
Somebody said El Tipo's nickname is actually something like the guy or the man, not literally translated to type.
Well, I understand.
This is why I can't learn Spanish. Because you Google or you go, hey, Google, what does El Tipo mean in Spanish? And then it means type. And then you go, and it's so much slang. I can't keep up.
I couldn't. Seeing that it says the type, that kind of makes sense. Like, oh, it's the guy. Like, he's the man. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But
like, look, the problem, like, I tried to learn
just
Spanish.
Just knowing that it's that's what that means.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
I tried to learn Spanish, and I got Rosetta Stone. And I was like, you know, I don't know of a scenario where I'm going to be like, excuse me, can you tell me where the bus station is? Never going to use that. Never. What I need to know is all the slang. Like, I know the curse words. Okay. I can call you a bitch in Spanish. That's great. But I don't need to know those things. I need to know things like, hey, where's a good place to get a drink around here? They don't teach you that. I can get it there. ¿Dónde está cerveza? Like, I don't know.
The only Spanish I know is when Lisa tries to teach me on the fly. Because she's trying to teach Taylor, and it's amazing. Like, Taylor can do ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, and she's been able to do them for a long time, which I thought was cool. But then, thanks to Lisa and her mom, she starts doing uno, dos, tres, cuatro. She just starts she's rifling off all that.
She's going to be Dora the Explorer.
You go right ahead. Huh? Yeah, you just keep doing that.
See, I wish I would have learned. We had a maid from El Salvador. My mom, a single mom. This was when she was working the corporate world, so she had a little money.
It was Candy Cody. You guys were loaded.
No. Single mom, 2 kids. No, we weren't loaded. But at one point, she worked for a place called The Horn Company. And she was pretty high up there for a couple of years. So she had got a live-in maid for us. And she was from El Salvador. Her name was Anna. And Anna didn't speak any English at all. And my mom's Spanish, to say it's broken would be
understatement.
Being generous. So there was a huge language barrier and so all we could do is just be like, eggs? Be like, huevos? Like, and then I'm like, am I saying balls or am I saying eggs? I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know how to do this. This was the same maid, though. I might have told the story. She didn't understand American culture because even though she lived with us, she would go back to El Salvador, then she would come back again. So one day I wanted to go to the pool. Can't go to the pool without Anna. So I'm like, Anna, let's go swimming. So I'm making the swimming motion, and I'm like trying, and I'm throwing water on her. And she's like, oh, see. So she walks me down to the pool. And me not knowing, now mind you, this woman is 300 pounds if she's a pound. Probably more than that. And I'm like, I'm swimming, and I don't know. I'm like, Anna, get in the pool. Aquí. So Anna takes off all her clothes down to her bra and big-ass panties. And not her swimsuit. Bra and panties and gets in the pool. And the pool just clears. We're talking kids, parents. All of a sudden, my mom says she got a call at her job. They were like, ma'am, can you come get your son and your maid? She's swimming in our pool damn near naked. She's got, and my mom was like, what? So my mom shows up like, Anna, you can't be swimming in your underwear at the pool. There's kids there, little boys and little girls running. Like, it was the most, and I was having fun. Me and Anna were playing. I was using her as a float. It was awesome.
Wow.
They were not happy.
That must have been a sight.
We were not allowed back at the pool for a while. They were like, you can't bring your stripping maid with you, your 300-pound stripping El Salvadorian maid with you to the pool.
Man. I mean, that's like the old Caddyshack when the baby Ruth is floating in the pool and it clears out.
Anna didn't care. She was just in the water, just enjoying it, everyone. I mean, it was just, I was like, we got the whole pool to ourselves, Anna. This is great. They were not happy with our family at all.
That's got, the language barrier is tough, though.
It was.
Because we had a nanny when Lisa and I had different schedules with different jobs than we have now. It was very, very difficult because our nanny was primarily spoke Spanish. And there's different kinds of Spanish, too. So Lisa, from her background with her relatives, spoke broken. Lisa speaks broken Spanish. But I go back to, like, the Adrian Chavarria, the Rocket Spanish announcer, who I hired a long time ago. And he literally tells me about, depending on where you're from, they have different names for it because it kind of blend. There's kind of a blend of the different versions of Spanish. And so I'm like, which, because I had to send his tapes to the NBA for review, because obviously I don't understand Spanish like that. And he would say, I use this because primarily for our audience, it's people that this is more tailored for them. But, you know, and I was,
it's
not
nerve
aware
wracking
of that at the
for
time.
Those guys. In fact, remember I was telling you I saw Yuli at the chicken place. I saw Yuli, a former intern here, and we were talking about the fact that she works for Univision, and she was like, well, but I don't want to do this because I don't want to do Spanish because you're always under a microscope. Everyone judges you based on how well you speak Spanish, and there's so much different slang, and the dialect is so different but precise, and if you don't do it, everyone judges you. She was like, I just don't want the pressure of having to do that. And she's fluent. She speaks perfect Spanish. Yeah. But it's just that everyone will judge you. I was like, man, that would suck.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Not that we don't know that, because people will judge. It's not supposedly.
But it's mine.
It's not, what did I say?
It was mine.
I always say something.
I will say this. Since that came up, I'm very, very close.
No, I don't say irregardless. I learned that a long time ago. I put an X in. Oh, especially.
Yeah.
I say especially instead of especially. And I got better at it because, again, doing
this,
people be like, you stupid ass, there's no X in especially. And I'm like, what is this, Tyler? Who is this?
I'm extremely conscious of it now, so I don't do it
anymore.
Tyler
corrects me all the time on Twitter. You want to talk about setting me off?
Not all the time. I used to. I've dialed it back.
Yeah, you've gotten a little better. I think it's mainly when you...
Tyler's cracking dad jokes.
Or I'm drinking.
Tyler's cracking dad jokes on Twitter. I was like, dude, where's the sound effects when you're doing it on Twitter?
I hate when people correct me because I don't care. Like, I'm not...
Then you shouldn't come to work because every day we get it.
I've gotten used to it. But it's just like, even if I spell something wrong, sometimes I'm just typing so fast, I don't proofread, I post. Because I'm so guilty of screwing up 2, 2, and 2. But more specifically, T-O and T-O-O, I'll screw those up. And there, it's just if I'm typing fast and not proofreading, whatever one is the easiest or the one that's on the top of my mind, I'll do it. But I know the difference between the possessive there and over there and they are. Like, I mean, I know them. I just don't think about it. But still, I screw it up.
Eric tweets in to us, today at work, I was asking my CI from the Philippines if he's eaten poke. And apparently that translates to asking him if he eats vagina.
That's funny because in Spanish, I asked my brother-in-law Alex. I was doing a show in the Valley, and I have this joke where I talk about going to a strip club, and the girl was like, "Oh, for $2 extra, you touch her cooter." Like, it was like a weird. And I was like, "What would be the equivalent of that in Spanish?" And basically, the word he gave me is also the word for cake. He's like, "Yeah, it means cake, but it also means Virginia in Spanish." I was like, well, "This is so weird." Now, I don't know if I... Hey, what do you want on your birthday, vagina? I mean, cake. Whatever.
Double frosting.
That makes no sense.
Sprinkles.
It's weird.
That depends on your taste.
I guess so.
All right. We'll continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter. Final hour of the show, and then we'll turn it over to the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5. I can't get much longer. Man, I've been waiting all night, yeah. That's how long I've been on ya.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Almost.
You tried. I was singing the
you
lyrics.
You had him, Tyler, if you wanted it.
Good thing I'm an adult and mute myself because old friend Seven and a Half said, always assume every mic is hot.
Seven and a half.
Except during the breaks.
Oh,
you weren't here for that.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Aluminum.
No, Palillo.
Oh, aluminum. I thought that's what I heard. My bad.
Friday on the show, I shouldn't tell Joel this. He will never let this go. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be great. Friday on the show, you know, AJ was filling in because Jerome got sick. He went to the
dentist. Well, AJ did this show?
Friday.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Jerome was out on Friday because he had an emergency dental procedure or whatever. He couldn't make it.
Okay.
So I texted AJ. I was like, hey, bro, Jerome can't make it. Can you do the show? He's like, yeah, I'll be there. So he comes down, does the show, and it's Palillo. And as you know, they have beef back in the day.
Wait, so Palillo had to be on the show
on Friday.
That's our normal Friday
1:30, and yep. It was a little uncomfortable, but they did. They got along well. But at one point, we talked about something, and I asked Palillo. We were talking about shoes or something, and I said, "Well, what about you?" And he goes, "We weren't talking about shoe size. We were talking about something completely different."
Was it the list of shoes we never got out?
No, but I asked him a question. And he goes, "I'm a 7.5." And me and AJ were like, what? And then he goes, oh, I thought you meant shoe size, da da da. And then it was on after that. It was AJ and me and the callers and the texters, and no one would let it go that he said he was a 7.5. AJ was like, my 10-year-old son's a 7. Like, it was brutal.
Wow.
But this was after he left, too. He wasn't even.
I'm sure he was listening.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, man, poor Charlie. I felt bad. And then, of course, no one would let it go on the text line.
I don't think those two terms will ever be put together. Poor and Charlie. No, I think he's okay.
He can hold his own.
I think he's okay.
Yeah. Jerry wants to talk about the brawl.
Before we go to him, are we guessing that it is?
Oh, it's probably. Jerry, you want to talk? Which brawl, Jerry?
Size 7 shoes. How does he even stand? It's ridiculous. I didn't hear that show.
people have stilts and walk
everywhere. It's like a pirate with the pegs. Man, I'm sorry.
That's so wrong.
Well, Jerry, you didn't do what you normally do. We were trying to verify it's you.
Oh, my God. How did you not notice it right when he walked in that he was wearing size 7 shoes? It's like someone stole like my sneakers. And
he wears Skechers shoes.
He wears those Skechers shape-ups, and those are deceptively big. No,
Oh, my God.
They're not.
No, wait. He's only half wrong, Tyler.
They may be Skechers.
They are Skechers. They're just not the shape-ups.
What? Oh,
can
my
you
bad.
Imagine going on like a first date with those Skechers shape up? That's like Virginia kryptonite.
Yeah,
like,
it really is. It's like done. It might as well
up,
be.
Yo, you can roll up in a Bentley and you step out of that car and you got some shape ups. Bye.
Yeah,
it's over.
I don't care if you got a Bentley or not. Right? You wearing those shape ups? It's almost like that one big corrective shoe from Otis on Martin. How you had that one bigger. You know what I'm talking about? Where the sole was a lot thicker.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
imbalanced
that.
Imbalanced sole.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
You want to know the difference between men and women? If you went on a first date and a girl rolls up and she's wearing shape up, but she's super hot, you'd be like,
bro, if a girl rolled up.
I'll buy her some Jordans.
Yeah, if a girl rolled up with a corrective high heel. you're still rocking that.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. If a super hot girl rolls up and she's got orthotics with two Velcro straps, what are you doing?
Hitting that?
No, you know what you're doing? You're going how she looked, though.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, from the ankle up, we can rock this.
We can go to Payless.
Oh, my God. And then, like, you're with her, and then you, like, look down, and she still has the shoe on, and you're like.
And one high heel. She's got one 3-inch heel on and one 6-inch heel on. Oh, I've got one leg shorter than the other. What?
Honey, one of your Velcro straps came undone. You mind if.
That would be great.
Hey, oh, my God.
Come on. Let me go slip into something more comfortable. Just undoing the Velcro. That's hot.
It's like my dad coming in from outside.
Oh, my God. That is lame. Hey, you know, can we all come up with an agreement that the bullpens are not allowed in any brawls? Because it takes them 5 minutes to get there. Half of them aren't even paying attention. They have to, like, go find their jacket or put their shoes on. And, you know, they got to run 100 yards to get to the fight. By that time, it's like, yeah, we know you're part of the team. But like,
you want the music from the bullpen. You want the music from Chariots of Fire because it takes them like an hour to get from the bullpen, you know, because they slow-mo the punches and you can still see in the background, do-do-do-do-do-do, they're still running in from the pen. Yeah.
Yeah. So ridiculous. I mean, you know what they should do? The bullpen should fight each other and then the other.
Just stay out there and fight. Yeah. I'm with you, Jerry. Yeah, that should be the rule. That should be the rule. You know what?
Just the only chance they're going to get a grass stain anyway.
Open the gates and just fight right there in the outfield. Yeah, and like West Side Story.
Yeah, let the big boys. The Jets and the Sharks or whatever. Let them do it out in the outfield. That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Jerry. Good job, bud.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine choreographed dance battles in the outfield? Oh, my God. But do you think that any small pitcher will ever be judged? Like, can you imagine, like, Hideo Nomo just being in Aaron Judge? And then what do you do? Like, let's say you're the pitcher, right? And your team's like, hey, you got to retaliate for whatever he did. And then you hit Judge. And this beast is coming at you, 6'7", like, looking like a tight end. And you look like a placeholder. And do you do the Van Gundy and hang on the leg? Do you the swing and run, or do you just kind of shuffle backwards and hope your teammates come get you?
I do exactly what happened in the Arenado fight. I start to make my way towards the third baseman as he's running at me. That way I can hide behind the big third baseman. Oh, it's Alex Bregman. Never mind. Maybe I'll make I don't know. At this point, you just run. I'm running if it's Aaron Judge and I'm Billy Wagner.
My buddy,
can you imagine little ass Billy Wagner doing that? With 100 miles an hour?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, bud.
No, I was saying, when I was in high school, me and my buddy, you know, you fight with your friends, and he was a big dude. He was a tackle on the football team, and he had me cornered, and he's coming at me. I called him fat, so I shouldn't have did that, but he's coming at me. He's pissed, right? He's about to hit me, so what I did, and I couldn't escape because he had me cornered, so what I did was I ran at him like I was going to throw a haymaker, and then he, like, kind of flinched to, like, brace for it, and then I just booked.
And then you what?
He booked. You just took off.
You know, you cock back like you're going to punch him. Uh-huh. And then when he, like, lifts his arms up, you just take off.
Nice. Appreciate the call, Jerry. Jerry's out there running.
Hideo Nomo was 6'2".
Yeah, I don't think he was tiny.
No.
Maybe he was 6'2", like 220. Nori Aoki.
But he's not a pitcher. Aoki's not a pitcher.
But Aoki,
what about someone charging
out
Bartolo Colon? He might be just like the
boy.
Open up his mouth and swallow you.
Have you ever seen those videos where people are holding up like the exercise ball and then they run really fast?
Yeah,
each other,
and bounce off. That would be Bartolo Colon.
That's what would happen.
Or Sabathia. Fought.
Or been to a Rockets game when they do those sumo deals? Yeah. Those sumo suits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be like
bounce
that
off of them.
I mean, when I think of small pitchers, I think of Billy Wagner.
He was
kind
of slight of build, but yeah, he just had a hell of a fastball.
Which would be, if you think about it, so let's say that Aaron Judge takes him deep in game one and showboats and takes his time and flips the bat and all that. Game three of the series, ninth inning, Astros are up by three, no outs, two outs, nobody on, Judge at the plate. Wagner plunks him with 100 in the back. That would be pretty interesting to see what Judge would do and what Billy Wagner would do as Judge headed to the mound.
It had to be
My guess is a guy like Billy Wagner is probably going to try to fight him.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he was kind of redneck that way.
Yeah.
On the other side of the equation, I think it takes a lot to piss off Aaron Judge to the point where he'd fight.
I kind of feel like that, too. Yeah. Like, he knows, hey, I could probably hurt any of these dudes out here if I punched him.
But I don't think he's that – his temperament, I don't think he's that way either.
You're right.
So, yeah, that would be – I'll tell you what. I've told you this, I think, on the air. But the nastiest thing I've ever seen when I was at Minute Maid was Billy Wagner's fastball. And who was the big power hitter for the Rangers?
Juan Gonzalez?
Yeah, Juan Gonzalez. And he turned. He got out in front of it. Like, he literally was guessing fastball dead red.
Uh-huh.
And he really turned on it. And he hit that liner over the third base dugout. And it hit a kid in the chest.
Damn.
I mean, the entire you could have heard a pin drop, and they came down to bring the kid up and everything like that, and you just felt evidently the kid was okay over time, but it was like that was just so scary to hear that sound of how fast 100-mile-an-hour fastball and with Juan Gon's bat speed. Oof.
That would be nasty.
It was really nasty.
By the way, Juan Gonzalez, go look up the way he swings the bat and then look at Yuli Gurriel. Damn near identical.
You just said you saw Yuli Waitressen, didn't you?
Nope.
Different one?
Different okay. Yuli.
Right. Honestly, but, whenever, when you first said Yuli,
I thought that's where you were going.
No, Gurriel's swing looks a lot like Juan Gonzalez. It reminds me so much that backstep with the follow through. Go check it out.
Yeah. All right, we got a half hour to go in the big show. We'll take a break, come back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Do we just want Dance Fever to continue over here?
That's on the video. Sexy time. Getting it. Oh, look at this. We got calls.
Yeah. You all pick them. Right.
Do I have to?
Okay.
So should we welcome back to the show first?
Okay. Welcome back to the show.
713-780-3776 if you want to call.
It's The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Joel, and it's Tyler filling in for Nicholas, who's under the weather. And he will be here again tomorrow. And you have to have a comedian. Write that down.
I already have it. Sun Tran. My buddy Sun Tran. He's going to send me some videos tonight that will play at 1:15, 2:15, and 3:15 tomorrow with more info. He just landed a big deal at a festival for it's called the Limestone Comedy Festival. So I told him, hey, man, well, you know, I've been featuring a lot of the more well-known guys. And the point of this was really to expand people's horizons on the comedians that exist in this city that you've never heard of. So we're getting into that now. So we'll do Sun Tran because he just landed a big deal. So,
okay.
Yeah. Well, not a big deal. I mean, but the festivals, it's a big deal to be on that festival. So apparently a lot of people are texting us about Palillo saying some naughty stuff.
Yeah, thought he was in a commercial Several break people or something. Have
texted us about him saying some curse words on the air. How un-Palillo is that?
I don't know why that was so funny, but just hearing you say Charlie said naughty stuff, hilarious.
That made you laugh? Okay.
Well, all right. Glad to entertain you.
Yeah, glad that works.
All right, Mike wants to get in here, talk about a new rule for a brawl. Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, can we make this a rule, too? When you're charging the mound, can we make it so the pitcher doesn't throw the glove at the batter? That is such a sissy move to try and create more time to react to whatever is about to happen.
Dude, that's called self-preservation. I would totally throw that. I would take off a cleat, throw that, or put it on my fist and try to use them like brass knucks. Like,
no, that is such a sissy move, man. If you're gonna peg the guy, at least stand there and go toe to toe with him.
I like the fact in the Red Sox game, Joe Kelly was like, "Come on out,
yeah,
come
he
on,
did get mouth, me. Come get it."
Yep,
exactly. But if you look at the other, what was that? The Padres and the Rockies a couple days ago. He threw the glove. I mean, as hard as he could. He threw the glove at him as hard as he could to try and slow him down.
Mike, that was my favorite part of the fight.
And then be scared of him.
That was my favorite part when he threw the glove. I thought that was hilarious.
Okay, and then one more question, guys. Hey, who's the female intern answering the phone? Is she one of those girls that's like cute that sounds over the phone but not in real life?
No comment.
No comment whatsoever.
She is doing an outstanding job, Mike. She's doing an outstanding job.
We appreciate the work of our interns.
Thank you.
Yep.
What a weirdo.
Yeah. They always want to know that. Back when we had Yuli on, they'd be like, is she hot? She would, though. She'd tweet out
pictures. Yuli's a self-promoter.
Yeah, she didn't mind it.
No, at all. All right, Eric wants to get in here, talk about Dez Bryant and Jerry Jones. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. Do you think Dez Bryant is going to get released tomorrow by the Cowboys? And I've seen Julie. She's pretty hot. Y'all's intern?
The new one or?
The new
one. Did you answer the phone?
Oh, you have seen her.
Yeah, she's hot.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for that rating system.
And don't be inappropriate. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't either. That's not. What was his question about
this? I got it, Barry. And remember, this goes back to all these ignorant Cowboy fans who started calling me out on the carpet that this could not even be considered, was not even being talked about. There's another hot rumor out that tomorrow the Cowboys may part ways with Dez Bryant.
You're talking about me.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about certain people on Twitter and callers that thought that they were going to be boisterously calling me out, and they were wrong again. So, but the rumor is out there that the Cowboys could be thinking about parting ways with Dez tomorrow.
So apparently, I was thinking he was on. They were on the spot for 16 mil in dead money, but it's half of that. They can recoup apparently $8.5 million in cap space by cutting him.
Yeah.
So.
The question to me becomes, what are you going to replace him with? And right. Is what you're replacing him with as good or better? And I don't think that unless you're getting OBJ or certain players out there, obviously his stats have been down a little bit, but I just don't think that they have enough talent in the wide receiver pool.
Unless they're
going to
draft, and maybe they're looking at one in the draft.
They went out
and got Allen Hurns, which is he was the heir apparent to the one, right? He's going to be the one, Allen Hurns. But Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley, Deontay Thompson, and Ryan Switzer, none of those names. I mean, Cole Beasley's serviceable as a slot receiver, above average as a slot receiver.
I'd say above average. He has
he's good. Yeah. None of these guys are like world beaters where you're like, oh, damn, well, we don't need Dez because these guys are going to, you know, put the fear of God into secondaries all across the NFL. I think Dez is still, he's one of the better receivers. He's just not performing like he was. How much of that is Dak Prescott? You know what? This is a run-first team now. Guess what's going to go down when you become a run-oriented team? Your passing numbers. Those are going to decline a bit. So I don't know that I fully blame Dez. Do I think he's the same as he was? No, but everybody's going, Father Time's undefeated. You get older, and Dez is getting older. And maybe they go to Dez and say, hey, we want to keep you, but we need to renegotiate your deal. You're not worth 16 mil anymore. And that may be the sticking point. So then they say, well, if you don't, we have to cut you. So it's not maybe that the Cowboys are just dead set on getting rid of Dez Bryant. Maybe they just want to renegotiate his money, and that won't happen. I don't know.
Well, I will say this. You are on to something with the potential of the Cowboys drafting a wide receiver, because I read somewhere yesterday the Cowboys brought in the wide receiver from Oklahoma State as a potential for a private workout, and I believe the Texans did too. So that's at least one scenario out there where they are kicking the tires on other wide receivers. But again,
why else would you make the move then? Unless you think that you've got a diamond in the rough in one of those names that I just read you. Or you're eyeing somebody that maybe is out there that's available, the draft is the only other choice at this
point. I'm not sure if it was James Washington or one of the Oklahoma State wide receivers, but I read that during private workouts leading up to the draft this week, Cowboys and Texans worked him out, an Oklahoma State wide receiver. So, yeah, but I'm with you. I mean, look, that's what I said all along. You can get $8 million back, but is it worth it because what you replace Dez with is going to be at least close to as good? I don't know.
That's the thing. Are you better with Allen Hurns and Dez Bryant or Allen Hurns and somebody else and a rookie?
And is there anybody in free agency still out there at wide receiver that might be able to create some kind of stir interest? Is Crabtree still out there?
Let me pull the old trusty spot track. They always have the best free agent.
Is Crab still out there? I don't think he signed with anybody.
His chain did, but I don't think he did.
His gold chain signed with somebody, but I don't think he did.
All right, available wide receivers as of now: Marcus Wheaton, Jeremy Maclin, Eric Decker, Dontrell Edmond, Michael Floyd, Brandon Tate.
Crabtree signed with the Ravens.
Yeah, Jeremy Butler, yeah. Eli Rogers.
Maclin's still out there?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's not a surprise.
That's your
still
list.
Still an above average talent before he got to Kansas City.
He's fallen off the past few years. Yeah, he did.
You're right. All right, before we go to
break.
That's
your list. So
you want to go get this before break or after break?
Sure.
Mary, come on in here real quick on this Dez Bryant thing. What's up?
Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Appreciate you, Mary.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, I was just wanting to comment on the Dez Bryant situation. I'm a very avid Cowboy fan. I have been for years. And I read the Cowboy news daily. Every day, faithfully. And today, Jerry Jones made a comment that he cannot picture a scenario where Dez Bryant is not a Cowboy this year. So just wanted to get you guys' thought on that, because from what he's saying, now Stephen Jones is saying something totally different, that he wants to talk to Dez about the contract. But Jerry is saying, you know, which we know everything goes through Jerry, so... just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, Mary, thank you.
Yep, appreciate the call. I think Jerry Jones is going to say whatever he thinks is best to say in the media and then do whatever he wants to do.
I totally agree.
If he thinks that Cowboy Nation wants to hear that, he's going to say that. But he's still going to cut Dez if he feels like that's the best thing. And again, I go back to what I said. It's not don't just assume that the Cowboys just want to get rid of Dez. This may have everything to do with wanting to redo his deal. That could be what this is all about.
It's possible, yeah.
The NFL comes down to the bottom line.
On your Jerry Jones point, he just wants the vultures off his back long enough that he can buy some time to do what he's going to do, too. He doesn't want to hear it from social media. He doesn't want to hear it from fans. He doesn't want to hear, you know, the radio and TV stations all over his ass. He's just going to, like you said, he's going to, at the given time, he's going to pull the trigger whichever way he thinks is best for the team.
Eric Resenda said, hey, I'm taking my family to the game Friday. Should I tell the girls to make a Usual Suspects Josh Reddick sign?
Hell yeah.
Hell yes.
That's not even a question. That you would don't be even awesome. Ask that. You just do it.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And take pictures so we can retweet them.
Right.
All right. We got one segment to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up. And then Fred, Jung, AJ, The Blitz, they'll take it over 4-7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back, final segment, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Wow, did he get loud?
I took my mic screen off.
Oh, tricky, tricky.
That might be it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Crystal Collins, head of the Dallas Cowboys fan club in Houston, says she will die if Dez goes away.
Really?
And she put a collage of painful to look at pictures of her with 88 jerseys and t-shirts and all kinds of stuff.
Oh.
Well,
I'm sorry.
When he becomes a Texan or a Packer, it'll be okay.
You'll be just fine.
Can you imagine Crystal Collins and all we go back and forth on? Can you imagine if he replaced Jordy Nelson and went to Green Bay?
Oh,
and then it was a catch.
That's a dick move.
That would be funny.
That would be funny. That is 1,000% dick move if you change your mind on the catch thing after that.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. We got an 88 jersey for you, Des. Come on over.
Dr. Dre on 290 said, the peeps want to know if Anna took Barry's virginity. No, I did not lose my virginity to my 300-pound El Salvadorian maid.
Why not?
I was like 8.
Okay.
I didn't even know how to use it yet. I barely knew what it was for.
Okay.
Some would say that's still the case.
Yeah.
Touché.
That's a Joel joke right there.
No, not bad. Touche.
Put that on Twitter tonight, Tyler, when you're drinking.
Maybe.
I'll allow it.
Probably not.
Oh, you'll allow it, Commissioner. All right.
I mean, I didn't rebut. It was good enough for me not to feel like I needed to make a comeback. Just good joke. Good job.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all. So, no, Dr. Dre, I didn't sleep with my overweight maid.
Jay Nix on Twitter wants to know, what could Bryant demand from a team if he's cut tomorrow? I got to believe he's getting 8-10.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson got 2 years and 15, and I would think that he still got more in the tank than Jordy Nelson and less injuries. I would say
What did Nelson get?
2 years and 15. So we got 7.5.
Yeah.
You're a numbers guy. You can do that.
So I'm looking at SpotTrack because they'll give you based on performance.
Oh, yeah. His numbers were down.
They're saying 6.8 a year, so 7.
I think some team, whether you call it overpaying or not, I think some team gives him at least 8.
They're projecting 3 years, 20.5 or 20.6 mil is what he'll get, so about 7 a year.
Now, if you're him, based on those numbers.
But I think he'll get more than
that. Would you sign a 1 year and bet on yourself?
Because the fact of the matter is he'll get more because there's nothing else out there right now.
Yeah. But would you bet on yourself and sign a 1 year hoping to get a big deal like my man did in Philadelphia that came from the Bears? Alshon Jeffrey.
It depends on where I went.
Alshon Jeffrey signed a 1 year, and then obviously they won the Super Bowl, and he performed his ass off, and he parlayed that into getting the multi-year deal at the money he thought he was worth.
If
all
I could
while
get
he
if
had a messed up shoulder.
Yeah, played through it.
If I could get somewhere like San Francisco where I maybe have an opportunity to hook up with a young talent like Jimmy Garoppolo and I would do that. But if you're gonna send me to, you know, purgatory and make me go play for, well, I mean, you know, any of the bad cute, if you send me to the Giants, I don't know if I'm going to take that chance. I don't think that's going to be a good football team.
That's going to be interesting, but at least you had a veteran quarterback with the Giants too. Because the name that Lance has thrown at me with Green Bay is that Calvin Ridley is going to be a hot commodity. And we've talked about the fact that I think it's more than just being a burner that, you know, it has great skill. The skill set in the NFL is about route running and timing. And the timing with Rodgers is so pinpoint and so a big portion of the whole thing when you play receiver in Green Bay. Devontae Adams has written an article for the Players Tribune talking about how it took over a year to get on that trust and timing situation with Rodgers. That's why I don't know if Green Bay is that team. Dallas could take a look at Calvin Ridley. I don't know. You know, it's possible.
Yeah. Somebody wanted to know who had the best receiving core
in last the NFL. Year?
Yeah. Or Tyler said, who do you think has the best receiving core in the NFL pre-draft?
This year. I mean, because you can't do it by numbers last year because Rodgers was hurt and a lot of guys were dinged up. But I don't think Green Bay. Everybody used to say Green Bay was there. They're not. I think Atlanta was pretty good with Sanu and Jones.
I would say Pittsburgh with Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown is going to be up there.
There's three. The kid, Juju Smith-Schuster and the kid,
Bryant.
I think that would be my vote. Would be Pittsburgh if I had to pick one.
He was still kind of blocking himself from being a bigger receiver than he was. He should have been a better receiver, but
still, that's a pretty talented threesome right there.
Yeah,
the Giants. I mean, if they didn't do what they did to Eli, I mean, you had even Odell going down with an injury.
Yeah, because they got the young kid from LSU and but they just didn't put the numbers. But
I think I would start with Pittsburgh and then Atlanta and go from there.
Okay. All right, yeah, I think we're somewhere along the lines. I want to say, I mean, like, oh, you the know, Vikings, Minnesota's pretty good.
Yeah, the Vikings Minnesota's have a good. Decent. I mean, but to me, it's the Saints.
Yeah,
they put up numbers, but I think a lot of that to me, the Vikings was situational. I don't know that. I mean, Thielen is pretty damn good.
Stephon Diggs is really good,
legit.
Yep.
And Saints, a lot of their stuff was Alvin Kamara.
Yeah,
and Breeze. Helps a hell of a lot, too. So, all right. That'll do it for us. Good show. So, we got a F Yeah Friday coming up tomorrow. If you want to get in on that, Barry's going to have our comedian of the day. He'll have all that stuff geared up and ready to go. Tyler's back for one more show as Nick is on the mend. So, join us again tomorrow. Have a great night tonight. Stay tuned for the Blitz. They're next. Fred, AJ, Jong, and the boys all here on ESPN 97.5.